There were so many conversations he needed to have with her, none of which needed to begin in the back of a limousine.
"Where are you?"
Gabby asked. "Good question."
"Want the truth?"
"Do you even have to ask?" He took a fortifying breath.
"Somewhere between truth and redemption and purgatory and hell."
"That's quite a long road."
As if on cue, the car pulled to a stop in front of their hotel, and his multitude of confessions had to wait. The two of them demanded attention as he guided her through the hotel lobby and into the elevator. Those eyes often turned into the flash of a camera after he stayed in a hotel for more than two nights. It wouldn't be long until the media would follow Gabby everywhere she went, especially once the news broke. Gabby paused inside the door and removed her shoes. Hunter went straight to the bar.
"Want something?"
Gabby walked toward him, her shoes dangling from her fingers.
"I don't know. Do I?"
He went ahead and poured her a vodka before shrugging off his jacket and sitting at one end of the sofa. She followed his actions, dropped her shoes beside a chair, and sat. She tucked her feet under her and waited. Where the hell was his tongue? He couldn't wait any longer. The collision course in his life, the one that drove him to rapidly acquire a wife, was on him. More than that, the woman waiting patiently for him to open up was doing something inside him that he hadn't expected. He didn't deserve her trust, her respect, but he was hell-bent on earning it.
"Tell me about your truth and redemption," she said when he remained silent.
"I can't do that without feeding purgatory and hell."
"You have to start somewhere. Why not start with what caught your attention during dinner?"
He removed the phone from the jacket he'd carelessly tossed on the back of the couch, brought up the picture, and handed it to Gabby. She leaned forward and took his phone.
"Unless this was taken yesterday, I don't see the problem."
Gabby handed him back the phone.
"It was taken 3 months ago at a studio party. Her name is Sheila Watson."
"You two look cozy."
Hunter glanced at the image again, saw things Gabby didn't.
"Looks can be deceiving. I'm not entirely sure how that picture was taken, but one thing is for sure, it was taken on purpose, just like the others."
"Others?"
He found the email hidden in a folder and pulled up a handful of pictures that had started to arrive shortly after he'd met Sheila. Hunter once again handed her the phone and told her to scroll. As Gabby looked at the many pictures, some more suggestive than others, her face was blank.
"How long was your affair?"
The question alone was why he'd embarked on his dance to hell in the first place.
"We didn't have an affair. That isn't me."
Gabby lifted the phone closer and opened the pictures wider.
"My brother, Noah."
"The one you don't get along with?"
"Understatement, but yes."
Hunter swirled the ice in his glass, took a drink.
"Wow, you two really look exactly alike."
"Our looks aren't the only thing my brother is banking on. You see, he had an affair with Sheila."
Gabby gasped. "Oh no, posing as you?"
"No, not that I know of. No, I'm sure Sheila knew exactly who she was sleeping with and why. The picture at the studio event was me. It was the first time I'd met the woman. Everyone at the event knew I was there. There is no disputing our acquaintance. To make things even sweeter, she showed up in my New York office pleading a need to see me. She was much too pushy and needy for my taste. Flattery from someone's attraction dissipates quickly when you believe they're unbalanced."
"Do you think her motivation in invading your work was just attraction?"
Gabby asked.
"No, it was by design. She wanted people to see us together."
"For what purpose?"
"Blackmail."
He finished his drink.
"Ironic when I think about what I had to do to destroy your goals."
Gabby sat a little taller.
"This is where I come in."
He unfolded from the couch and brought the decanter of whiskey to his glass.
"I wasn't lying when I first told you I needed a wife to ward off the number of women claiming I'd promised them marriage."
"I'm sure that's true, but sincerely doubt marriage was your only solution to that problem."
He offered a half-assed smile from across the coffee table.
"Except some were determined to make a killing on their accusations. You see, Sheila had a child 9 months ago. My twin brother's child. I don't know what came first, the child or the plan. Doesn't really matter."
"Oh no."
Hunter could see the light in Gabby's eyes spark.
Sheila manages a few pictures of the two of us at the party, makes a surprise appearance in my office, corners me during a lunch meeting. Then a note arrives from Noah. Congratulations, Daddy. Words no man ever wants to hear, and yet every one of us deserves to at least once in our lives. But not from a woman they've never touched.
The confession hung between them for a few seconds before Gabby asked, Your need for a wife was so she wouldn't blackmail you into marriage?
He hated the irony. In part. But she never would have managed. Having a contractual wife certainly removed that from her plans.
How is it she can pin this child on you if it's not yours anyway?
DNA. Noah and I are identical in every way genetically. I received word last week that the paternity test proved me to be the father.
It proved one of the two of you to be the father, Gabby corrected. Surely someone with your wealth and influence can find a way to dispute this woman's claim. His eyes collided with Gabby's. The forced smile she held slowly melted. Unless you don't want that. Her jaw dropped.
My hell will be Noah's purgatory. How dare he use a child as leverage for money?
The early memories of his brother's deception to claim something of his that wasn't flooded him. Yeah, they'd used the identical twin thing in unison in primary school. By the time they were halfway through high school, their mother had completely disappeared. Their father was easily persuaded to follow whatever financial path Noah thought he should. What Blackwell Sr. didn't realize, or if he did, didn't care about, was Noah's self-serving nature. Avoiding responsibility and pretending to be someone he wasn't was Noah's gift. Another gift? He pleased everyone he met. There wasn't a soul who would say he was a bad guy. He reserved his nasty side for Hunter. There'd been many times in the past Noah had come along asking for a little money to hold him over. Finance a brilliant idea. It was easy to hand over money when you had it. Eventually, however, Hunter knew he wasn't doing the right thing. He stopped being his brother's bank and subsequent doormat and shut him out. Less than 3 months later, Noah had opened a line of credit using Hunter's name, drained over $100,000 before Hunter learned of his brother's deception. After, Hunter stopped all communication, and his bookkeepers kept a close eye on all credit inquiries. Hunter's reward for tough love? A child he didn't father. Payback is a bitch. Gabby lifted a hand to her lips and spoke through it. You're going to keep the child.
A move neither of them are expecting.
Gabby dropped her hand in her lap, her jaw tightened. This isn't a game of chess. We're talking about a child, Hunter. The hair on his neck stood on end.
A child being used as a pawn by his own parents. What kind of life will he have? My mother forced my father into marriage with her pregnancy. She left the first time in third grade, only to return and play the back-and-forth game until high school. My brother knows I won't support him, so he's devised a plan to support his child. Only Noah thinks I'm going to do it by handing him money to avoid being the child's father.
He couldn't sit any longer and crossed to the windows and the lights of the city below. He never spoke of his mother. Most people thought she was dead. To him, she was. After Noah's game, his brother would be dead to him, too. I'm sorry.
I don't want your sympathy.
Well, that's too bad. Abandonment from a parent isn't easy at any age. My father died and I still felt cheated. If he had chosen to leave and never returned, it'd be an unfathomable betrayal. What I don't understand is why you didn't tell me all of this before now.
Before our marriage?
Yes.
Would you have believed me?
He glanced at her over his shoulder. With a small shake of the head, she said, No, probably not.
Then you have your answer.
The lack of friends and loyalty kept him from opening up and expecting people to do the right thing. He returned his stare to the skyline. You're a very impatient man. Do you know that?
I don't like to waste time.
Which makes you impulsive, makes you force marriage on unsuspecting women. How could he respond to that? Luckily, she continued talking and kept him from having to. Do you have any idea how you're going to bring this child into your life? What it takes to be a father? Up until Gabriella had landed in his life, he'd thought of nothing but that.
No more than any man who's been told they have a child.
You're really going to do this? Take on your brother's child as your own?
Hayden doesn't deserve a life with parents that only had him to make money off his DNA. I'm not delusional. I know it won't be easy.
And you're willing? The image, the one he had of the boy, swam in his head. Hunter turned to look at Gabby. She was sitting forward in her chair, her feet planted on the floor as if she were ready to bolt from the room.
He isn't yet 10 months old. The babysitter, daycare, whatever you want to call it, doesn't differ much from an orphanage. Sheila retrieves him on occasion, but she's been spending most of her time with Noah. And Noah isn't father material. He can't care for himself, let alone another human being.
So how do I fit into this picture?
I have a team of lawyers, as well as private investigators, working on deeming Sheila incompetent as a parent. As a stable, married man, it's not only easy to avoid Sheila claiming I agreed to marry her, but the court will use the evidence and my current stable state to grant me custody. My guess is she will vacate the scene with a little money and time.
And if she doesn't? Hunter was betting she would.
I'll cross that road when I come to it.
And Noah? She asked.
He will get nothing. If I caved to any of his demands now, what is to stop him from doing it again?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Do you have a picture of Hayden? Hunter removed his wallet from his pocket as Gabby walked toward him. A mop of dark hair sat on top of a chubby face. The child's fist was in his mouth. Drool ran down his chin. Gabby lifted her hand to the picture and placed a fingertip to the image. He's adorable. Yeah. The thought hit Hunter the first time he'd seen the kid.
Innocent.
On a sigh, Hunter returned the picture to his wallet and tucked it into his pocket. What am I going to do with you? Gabby whispered. Hunter looked into her eyes, saw a hint of moisture hiding behind the dark depths of them.
You'd be wise to keep your distance.
Instead of distance, she closed the minimal space between them and placed a hand on his chest. One minute you're impersonating the greatest bastard out there. The next you're rescuing babies from bad parents.
I'm not a hero, Gabby. Nowhere close.
No, she agreed. You're not a saint. Your tactics are ruthless, tasteless, and seemingly without conscience. You're impatient, greedy, and egotistical. He frowned. You're cynical, downright nasty. He placed a hand to his chest.
You're killing me.
I'm not done. She batted his hand away from his chest and smiled. You're driven, which isn't a bad thing. You're influential and a little brilliant. I mean, come on. How many men at 36 make the Forbes billionaire bachelor list without family money? Some of his frown lifted. You fear honesty, but who doesn't? It's hard to reveal truths about yourself when you don't know if the person you're talking to is going to use it against you. It's hard to trust when your own twin is screwing you over. He lifted a hand to her shoulder and held on.
I'm not
finished. He sighed with a smile. You're sexy, and the women in your life would have been fools to not try and capture whatever attention they could from you.
Yeah, he was working out the muscles in his face with his grin.
You've probably broken hearts from L.A. to New York to Europe. God help you if more than one woman arrives with a child in their hands that you can't avoid.
I've always been safe.
Gabby placed a finger over his lips, silencing him. And while you're impatient with many mergers and acquisitions and marriages, you've shown amazing restraint with your nephew and your wife. She paused. Her smile faded. And that, Hunter Hayden Blackwell, is what is placing your feet on the road to hero. His hand gripped her shoulder, the trust in her eyes too powerful for words.
My restraint for you is a tightly strung string on a violin. One stroke and it's going to snap.
Her delicate fingers rode up his chest and wove around his neck. God, I hope so. She brought his head closer to hers and kissed him. The Stradivarius shattered. Chapter 20. He was stunned. Gabby felt it in his kiss. His hesitation lasted only a fraction of a second before he wrapped her into his strong arms and threw his weight into the meeting of their lips. So many sensations hit her at once. He tasted like whiskey, smelled like sin, and kissed her like a devil guaranteed to break her heart. There was no letting go, however. After lying dormant for so long, having a man as powerful as Hunter Blackwell devouring her wasn't something she wanted to resist. Not any longer. She opened to the swipe of his tongue and lifted on her tiptoes to taste. There were no careful, languishing movements. Both of them were much too anxious to feel the next zip of pleasure. Hunter ran a hand down the length of her back and back up to catch in her hair. He released her lips to say,
"Let this down. I want to see you with it down."
She opened her eyes to see his hooded gaze. With both hands, she released the clip and comb holding her hair. It cascaded over her shoulders in a wave. Hunter growled and pushed both hands into it, his eyes focused on his own hands as they ran through the silky length. With both hands holding her face, he finally met her eyes.
"I've never wanted a woman the way I want you."
She didn't have time to respond. Not that she knew what to say after his confession. He dragged his lips across hers in what felt like desperation. When Gabby let one hand fall to his hip, the other to his ass, Hunter pressed her against the massive window and gathered her hands in his. He lifted them above her head and leaned into her, from shoulder to knee. It was as if he was controlling his own ability to slow this down by keeping her from touching him. It was frustrating and erotic. Though they were both still fully clothed, the extent of his desire pressed low on her belly. Close, but not close enough. Hunter continued kissing her, hot, urgent kisses that left her utterly breathless. With her hands inoperable, Gabby ran one leg up his. He tore his lips away.
"If you keep touching me, I'm going to make love to you right here, with all of Dallas watching."
She swiveled her head and attempted to catch the lights behind her. She wasn't quite ready for that leap into exhibitionism. "And I suggest we find a proper bed." One of his hands loosened on hers, and his free palm held her cheek.
"Are you sure, Gabriella?"
"Is there any question?" He was giving her an out she no longer wanted. "Your bed or mine?" she asked with a smile. One minute she was bound to the window, the next she was in his arms.
"Mine's closer."
He tossed back the down comforter and laid her on the white sheets. Gabby welcomed him back into her arms and continued the kiss he'd kept from her for over a week. The weight of him, his strength, made her dizzy. Or maybe it was the lack of air. Gabby lifted her chin, forcing his attention to her neck. She tugged his shirt from his slacks. Removing his shirt wasn't possible without space between them. And right at that moment, Hunter was using the tip of his tongue to explore the space behind her ear. When her fingertips met with skin, she let her nails drag. Hunter lost his concentration and moaned. With her lips close to his ear, she whispered, "I love when you lose control."
"Grr,"
she giggled, let her fingers slip into his pants. His sought out the bottom of her dress. The feel of his fingers riding over the edge of her stockings made her smile. He froze and half-lifted from her heated frame. He gathered the edge of her dress and lifted it higher on her thigh. She knew the moment his eyes feasted on her garter.
"Christ, Gabby, what are you wearing?"
"If you have to ask." She let her words fade as she took in his reaction to the lingerie. He ran a hand under the clasp, left it in place, and continued to explore her.
"You're like Christmas."
Heated from his touch, his words, his eyes, she said, "It's time to remove some of the wrapping." She sat up and reached behind her back. The zipper of her dress wasn't an easy catch, so Hunter took over. She heard the gentle slide, felt his fingers lightly brush her skin as cool air met her flesh. Sitting still, she didn't fidget when Hunter took his time removing the dress from her shoulders. Only when the dress pooled around her waist did Hunter stop staring and lean forward to touch. He lingered on her shoulder, trailed his lips to the tops of her breasts, still bound in her black lace bra. He was attempting to remove her dress, and she tugged at his shirt. They both met the floor at the same time. Gabby knew Hunter filled out a suit, but under was the real view. A view she'd thought a lot about since she'd first seen it on the beach on her brother's island. With the liberty to touch, she did. Everything about the man was confident and strong. Hunter left the bed for the 2 seconds it took to shed his pants. He tossed his wallet on the nightstand and returned in only his boxers. He ran his hands over her breasts, cupped them before moving to the back to unclasp her bra.
"Christmas and birthdays," he mumbled, as he tossed her clothing away.
Her breasts were heavy in need of his touch. She didn't have to ask. Hunter replaced his hands with his mouth. Had she ever felt so completely ready to accept a man into her body? Was there a time she felt this cherished? Cherished was probably the wrong word, but it was the only one that continued to scroll in her head. Hunter was making love to her, not simply trying to get inside. Pushing away any doubt of his intentions, she leaned back against the pillows and drowned in the feel of him. He took his time, until she was raw and squirming. He'd yet to touch her most needy parts, and they screamed for his attention. He moved down her waist, kissed the edge of her hip. When she lifted her hips, she heard him laugh. "Now it's me who's dying," she told him. He lifted one of her legs until it was bent at the knee, and he knelt between them. The first clasp snapped, catching her by surprise. The second was expected. He rolled the stocking down and turned to her other leg. Once they were both gone, he let his fingers on a slow dance up her calves, her thigh, and stared everywhere he touched. When she was certain he was going to relieve some of the monstrous tension in her body, his hands bypassed her core, took the edge of the garter, and pulled it off. Her breath caught when he removed the final layer. She'd never been this exposed to a man, but instead of feeling embarrassed, the word treasured popped in her head. "Please," she mumbled. Hunter's eyes shot to hers with such lust, such passion. Her heart skipped in her chest.
"I don't deserve you."
It frightened her to think he'd stop. "You've taken me this far, Hunter. It would be cruel to leave me like..." With his eyes locked to hers, he let his hands find the top edge of her inner thighs.
"I passed turning back before we entered the room, Gabriella."
He lowered his head. The first touch was with the swipe of his tongue. Gabby cried out, clenching the sheets with her fists. He didn't need to be told where to touch, what to taste. He was simply there, completely consumed with her in two breaths. Oh, Hunter, it had been so long, too damn long. The strings on her violin were drawing tight too quickly. Her hips lifted from the bed and she shattered. Literal stars shot as her orgasm ran over her. Hunter didn't ease away, he shifted. His boxers found the rest of the clothing on the floor, and Gabby heard the tearing of a wrapper. She captured his hand as he rolled the condom on, smiled. The impressive anatomy with his clothing on was just as extraordinary without it. She opened herself up to him, wrapped her arms around his neck. The feel of him nudging her had her smiling.
"Last chance, Gabby."
"I thought we passed turning back," she said with a grin. He growled, tilted her hips, and offered a sample.
"You're right."
He gave her everything.
"We did."
"Yes." He filled her. Every empty space was now branded with his scent, his touch. Hunter pulled her into his arms. His lips once again took possession of hers, and he slowly started to move. Gabby's buildup was slower this time, and Hunter didn't rush. He muttered about her beauty, said more than once he didn't deserve her, told her how amazing she felt. Their pace sped up until kissing wasn't possible, and all their attention was on the spot they were so intimately joined. Her nails pulled him closer, the edge of completion only a hair out of reach. Just when she thought she was going to lose it, Hunter whispered,
"Come for me."
She did, and the feeling rolled and rolled, then shot past both of them. Hunter soon followed with a growl she was all too familiar with. Remington hadn't slept on the plane, and the sun in Rome was entirely too bright. He exited the airport and found his way to the taxi station, grateful to be out of Columbia. The place had eyes, and he couldn't help but wonder who exactly had been watching him. Other than the kids lifting his phone, he hadn't been mugged or even propositioned. The only promising lead on the Pecano accounts was the two so-called bankers. After he left them, Remington's information dried up. Once he was settled in a cheap motel, or what would be equivalent to an American dive, Remington dialed Blackwell. It was the middle of the night in the States, so when voicemail picked up, he relayed the important details.
"Ah, Rome. Such a big city. Columbia was a bust. If I knew better, I'd swear whoever had their hands in that account had a reach far outside those borders. Lips were closed up tighter than my first wife. Anyway, My cell is back on, same number. If you tried to call earlier, sucks to be you. Damn kids,
he muttered.
I'm posing as your hot tamale's personal agent. Vouch for me. These Italians aren't as quick to talk, which leaves me wondering how far I'm going to get. I might need to pull in another set of ears. Or someone who speaks the damn language.
Remington caught a yawn and kicked off his shoes.
Don't bother calling for at least 6 hours. I won't answer.
He pushed from the bed and closed the blinds.
Have I told you how much I love traveling on your dime?
He hung up. He would be up by dusk and ready to find the contact he'd made before he boarded the plane. Then, after a decent night's sleep, he'd be at the bank in the morning. As the city around him woke, Remington did his best to drown out the noise and the light. He hit the bed and instantly felt his body sinking. His last thought before he fell asleep was,
I need to have something tomorrow or Blackwell's wallet is going to shut.
Sleep first, information later. Hunter woke with a start, his head swiveled to the side. Gabby was still there. Her hair splayed on the pillow, her eyes closed, and her lips slightly parted as she slept. They'd just complicated everything. He couldn't bring himself to care. It was still dark. The clock on the table said it was after 3 in the morning. Gabby shifted in her sleep, and Hunter reached around her waist and moved closer. Only when his head rested on the same pillow as hers and her floral scent met his nose did he let himself relax. He'd heard people talk about mind-blowing sex, rock the universe orgasms, and yeah, he'd had his share of encounters that he thought were defined in those terms. He'd been wrong. Maybe it was the conquest itself. The reality that the woman sleeping in his arms had told him that under no terms would she let him touch her. Maybe it was Gabby. Maybe unadulterated lust poisoned his brain. He started to doze and Gabby wiggled one of her legs between his. His body responded to her slight touch. Hunter considered taking her, again, then decided a wide-awake lover would prove better than one half asleep. The sun would rise in a few hours. He could wait. Chapter 21 Hunter sat across from a bathrobe-clad Gabby as they sipped tea and enjoyed room service. She'd been just as passionate in the morning as she had been the night before. If she was having second thoughts on what had happened, there wasn't any sign of it in her voice or her actions. And since when did he want to talk about sex after he'd had it? Since he woke up, apparently. Is it me? Gabby asked, as she spooned a forkful of scrambled eggs into her mouth. Or are these eggs magnificent? She licked her lips, the tip chasing a tiny speck of egg inside.
Watching you eat them? That might be classified as magnificent.
She tilted her head and gave him a slightly embarrassed smile. I'm starving. I haven't been awake and active that long at night since... She lowered her fork and studied the ceiling. I don't think I ever have. God, she was good for his ego. She'd also just opened the door to the conversation that had been on his mind since he showered.
Any second thoughts on last night?
Her eyes met his. Probably. They just haven't made themselves known yet. An honest answer. What about you? She asked, forking more eggs into her mouth.
I'm more concerned about you. You were adamantly opposed to intimacy.
She lowered her fork and leaned back in the chair. I didn't know you. I probably still don't. Not completely, in any event.
Couples that have been married for 20 years learn secrets about the other.
Gabby wiped her mouth with a napkin in her lap before she spoke. I've learned a lot more about Hunter Blackwell in the past month than I ever thought possible. Intimacy, however, has been something I feared. I think you can understand why. He leaned across the table and placed his hand over hers. I'm not afraid of you, she said. I probably should be.
That hurt, but he had to own her statement. You probably should be, he agreed.
She actually grinned with his words. Thank you for not ignoring the elephant in the room.
You're my wife, he reminded her. You're not someone I can ignore.
She removed her hand from under his and continued eating. Would you? If we'd just met? No marriage contract? No drama? Would you ignore me after last night?
And this morning?
Her fork hesitated and her cheeks turned pink. And this morning, she repeated.
Another woman? Maybe. I didn't get my reputation by speculation alone.
She seemed to respect his answer, so he continued.
Gabriella Blackwell demands something more, and it isn't simply the last name. Though I think we can both say neither of us have embarked on a sexual affair with our spouse.
That sounds so strange.
Do you have another way of putting it?
She continued to chew as he shrugged. Affair sounds better than a one-night stand. And is that what we're doing? He lifted his coffee cup, brought it to his lips, and muttered.
One night? I don't think so. I can't say I know what the hell I'm doing.
She gave up on her breakfast, dropped her napkin on her plate. I don't either, she told him, but I do think we need to cover a few rules. There she was, the woman who stormed into his office with a contract only a fool would sign.
Color Hunter a fool. What kind of rules?
We both have issues with trust, yes?
Yeah, I suppose.
So, honesty above all things. I'll start. When I put the clause in our contract about affairs, it was more to push your buttons than me caring if you slept around. But as long as you and I are...
Her gaze drifted to the closed door behind him. Intimate?
Yes. As long as we're intimate, monogamy isn't something I want to live without. He swallowed.
He hadn't agreed to that kind of relationship since high school. And that was for what, 2 weeks? Then again, he hadn't thought of another woman since he'd met and encountered the force named Gabriella.
And if either of us feels the itch with someone else, we're honest about it, she said.
The thought of her with another man left him colder than he liked. I can agree to that.
She kept her eye on his. No matter how it might hurt the other person.
I promised I wouldn't hurt you.
But could he keep that if someone else came along? God, he was such an asshole. That promise was physical. It's up to me to protect my heart, Hunter. That isn't your job. Yeah, it would hurt if you were to tell me last night was great, but let's not do it again. But that's better than pretending attraction when there isn't any.
He couldn't help it. He laughed. Great isn't a word I'd use. And let's not isn't even in my vocabulary.
So we agree. Monogamy and honesty. Even if it hurts.
And one more thing. He added. Our contract still stands. 18 months.
17 months, 2 days.
Did I miss a couple of weeks?
Our contract was signed before we said I do. You really should read the fine print, Wall Street.
It made him happy to see her smiling. Fair enough.
He lifted his hand across the table as if he was talking with his lawyer.
Should we shake on it?
Instead of extending her hand, Gabby stood and removed the belt on the bathrobe. The sight of her body, all of it, unclothed and standing in the middle of a hotel room in Dallas, had his mouth completely dry. I have a better idea, she said, as she started toward the stairs. It took a minute for his brain to register, but when it did, he growled and gave chase. Escrow closed the following Friday, and on Saturday, Samantha's sister, Jordan, went into respiratory arrest and was on life support. Instead of moving into her new home, Gabby was keeping pace with all the current and past members of Alliance in an effort to support Samantha and Blake.
Is there anything I can do?
Hunter asked her over the phone when she called to tell him there wouldn't be any moving vans over the weekend. It's round-the-clock coffee in the waiting room, unless you love the smell of antiseptic and something I can't identify. They'd spent the majority of the week apart. Dallas would never look the same. They debated separate rooms in the new house. Then Wednesday came, and dinner, and the back of the limo. But Gabby was working hard to push that memory from her head as she spoke with Hunter now. I'm sure you have some packing to do.
I have people for that, he said. Besides, I'm not moving anything from the condo, so my packing is limited to suits.
He was keeping his place in the city, a decision made before Dallas.
B.D., an acronym Gabby kept thinking.
So you're bored and need somewhere to go. And the hospital, is it?
Bored? I don't know what that word means.
She felt a smile on her face. Around her, hospital staff walked in and out of the locked doors of the ICU. The lobby was filled with familiar faces. Gwen sat next to a former Alliance employee, Karen Gardner. Karen had worked with Samantha's sister early on and was taking this latest turn in Jordan's health to heart. It didn't help that Karen had recently learned she was pregnant with her first child, and emotions ran high. If you're not bored, what are you doing?
Multitasking. There was nothing laughable going on around her, yet she found herself giggling.
What does a billionaire do when multitasking? She asked.
This billionaire is trying to figure out how to hire a nanny without tipping off the world of my intentions, while simultaneously guiding two private detectives in different parts of the world.
When do you think Hayden will come?
A month? Maybe two. Hard to tell. I have a child and family lawyer and her team working it. If my PI can document neglect, we'll get him sooner. Emergency case could be in a week. Who knows?
Want my advice? She asked.
Bring it.
Skip the nanny search. We'll deal with that when we get him. Between the two of us, we'll manage.
Hunter hesitated. I work every day. I can't dump this on you.
You're not dumping. I'm volunteering. Once we have him, we can begin Operation Nanny Search. Besides, I don't want some beautiful young blonde in my home tempting my husband. She was only half teasing.
I don't know.
Hunter, please, concentrate on your detective. You have two on this?
No, only one. The other one is on you.
The smile on her face fell.
On finding the name behind the trafficking of money through your accounts, he said quickly.
Don't scare me like that, she scolded.
Seems all the secrets are on the table, unless you're hiding something.
Gabby took another look around to ensure no one was listening. My skeletal closets are empty, Hunter.
Good to know.
Your PI doesn't need to worry about any more trafficking. I put a stop to that.
You what?
The night you cornered me with the information, I found both accounts. It only took me a few tries to figure out Alonzo's passwords. He never was that clever about numbers. When I backed out of the accounts, I changed them.
Oh, Gabby, no, you didn't.
Distress laced Hunter's voice. Yes, I did. I don't want someone going around using my name on an account with that kind of money in it. Freezing the accounts until I could hire someone to find the person behind them seemed the best course of action.
No, 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 no.
She turned toward the wall, lowered her voice. What?
Think about it. Whoever has their hands on that money can no longer access it. That's gonna piss someone off.
The smugness of a moment ago was gone now. I didn't consider that.
I'm switching gears. You need a bodyguard until we have this sorted out.
That's ridiculous, Hunter. I do not need a bodyguard. Her words were louder this time, and several heads swiveled toward hers. Gwen ended her conversation with Karen and started toward Gabby. We'll talk about this later.
There's nothing to talk about, Hunter said.
Gwen stopped right in front of her, eyes sharp. A bodyguard. Gabby lowered her cell phone from her ear. It's nothing, Gwen. Hunter's being overprotective. Gwen placed her hands on her hips and glared. I've found that when a man as rich as Hunter thinks you need a bodyguard, you need a bodyguard. Tell him I'll have Neil give him a call. Gabby placed her hand over the receiver of her phone. I don't need... With one swift movement, Gwen snatched the phone from her hand and put it to her ear. Hi, Hunter, it's Gwen. Yes, it's been a long time. Right, one of my brother's weddings? Gwen laughed and then kept talking. Listen, about a bodyguard. My husband heads up Blake's security. Yes, that's right, Neil. Brilliant. So glad you remember. I look forward to it. Anytime. Gwen lifted her chin, handed the phone back, and walked away. Happy now? Gabby asked Hunter, once she lifted the phone to her ear again.
Very. One less thing to research. I'm going to come by and pick you up.
Enough. I'm not a child. And she was getting a little more than slightly irritated with everyone handling her.
Maybe I just want to see you.
He was lying, but the words were sweet. Why haven't you jumped in front of a bus yet? She asked. He started to laugh.
There's my girl. You need to eat. I'll pick you up at 5 in the lobby.
If you don't get hit by a bus first. There was no bite in her voice.
I'll try. If not, I'll see you at 5.
Fine, but nothing fancy. I'm not dressed for fancy. After disconnecting the call, Gabby returned to the waiting room couch and an internal interrogation. So, Gwen started, What's this about needing a bodyguard? Chapter 22. It was 10 minutes before 5, and the hospital walls had started to close in. Stepping into the cool, fresh air outside to wait for Hunter appealed on a very high level. It was already dusk, but a recent dusting of rain left the air crisp and moist. Gabby pulled up to the side of the building and leaned against it. After hours of sitting, drinking tea, and attempting to cheer up her boss and friend, she was in need of a break. Hospitals, ICUs, and patients on ventilators were triggers for too many bad memories. She hadn't realized the stress on her shoulders until she noticed Hunter walking toward her. He was dressed more casually than she'd ever seen him. Jeans and a jacket. And running shoes? Maybe it was his multitasking outfit. She pushed off the side of the building to greet him. You didn't have to park. He stopped short and silently stared. She moved closer, thinking he would greet her with a kiss. What? Did your tongue step in front of the bus? A complete look of confusion crossed his face, and Gabby felt her smile fall.
You must be her.
What?
Hunter's wife.
Gabby stepped back. In an instant, she realized her mistake. Dear Lord, they looked exactly the same. Oh.
You're more beautiful than the pictures in the magazines,
Noah said. The inflection in his voice mimicked her husband. A charming smile, one Gabby had seen a few times on Hunter's face since Dallas, put her on edge more than she expected. I thought you were Hunter. Noah was quick to laugh.
We get that a lot.
Gabby made sure there was plenty of space between them. I've heard a lot about you. That charming smile didn't fall, but something shifted in his eyes.
Nothing good, I'm sure. My brother has an interesting grasp on reality.
There was no proper reply, so Gabby kept silent. He stuck his hand out in front of him.
Noah Blackwell.
Nice controlling move. Gabby looked at his hand but made no movement to close the distance to shake it. You'll have to excuse me, Mr. Blackwell. In the space of 1 minute, you've insulted my husband and in turn me. What are you doing here? He slowly lowered his arm, his smile becoming much more sinister.
What did he tell you?
This was not a game she wanted to play. She glanced out into the circular drive of the hospital, fully expecting to witness someone with a camera nearby. If they were out there, they hid well.
I'm not the evil twin, Gabriella.
Her head snapped to his. I don't believe I've given you leave to use my first name.
I see he's already poisoned you. He does have a way of manipulating everyone around him to get what he wants.
Why are you still standing here? Whatever goal you've set out to accomplish is not going to happen. Noah Blackwell sat back on his heels and smiled again.
I have a feeling our paths will cross again. It's been a pleasure, Mrs. Blackwell.
She didn't look at him as he passed by her and into the hospital. 2 minutes later, Hunter pulled his car into the drop-off. Casual slacks, but not jeans, and his button-up shirt and dinner jacket brought relief. He stepped out of the car to greet her, and she stepped into his embrace and sighed. It's good to see you, she said.
Well, if I thought dinner was going to start like this, I would have come earlier.
She started to shake.
Gabby?
Hunter pulled out of her hug and studied her.
What's wrong?
She looked behind her. I just met your brother. Hunter's hand squeezed her shoulders, his face turned to stone.
You what?
Here. He stepped into the hospital less than 3 minutes ago. His gaze moved beyond her, then back.
Did he hurt you?
No, just said a few things. I thought he was you at first.
Wait here.
Hunter ran toward the door. Don't do anything stupid, she yelled after him. If Hunter heard her, he didn't indicate it. Gabby stood beside the open door of Hunter's Maserati, the engine still humming as it idled in the drive. Hunter disappeared behind the sliding doors of the hospital, leaving her staring after him. She held on to the top of the car with the passenger door opened and tried her best attempt at appearing patient. With all the fidgeting she was trying to control, Gabby was fairly certain any cameras pointing on the outside of the hospital painted her as a woman standing by the getaway car. Hunter emerged from the doors several minutes later. Gabby did a mental check. He was wearing slacks, not jeans. She sighed. Did you see him? He shook his head.
He doesn't stick around for long.
There was a car behind them, pinned because of a small bus that had sandwiched them in. The driver tapped his horn. Hunter held the passenger door while Gabby slipped inside.
Are you okay?
Shaking, which is stupid. He didn't do anything. I think it was the shock of realizing a half a second too late that he wasn't you. I almost kissed him.
Hunter gripped the steering wheel with both hands.
But you didn't.
Gabby wrapped her arms around her stomach. No, she really wasn't feeling well. The car hit a buckle in the road and her head started to spin.
What did he say?
They stopped at the red light and Hunter glanced her way. That he wasn't the evil twin. I told him he was wasting his time talking to me.
But he knew who you were.
Yes, said he recognized me from the paper, or something like that. The light turned green and Hunter kept driving. What game do you think he's playing?
The same one he's been playing since our teens. Undermine, discredit, and deceive.
Wouldn't it be easier if the man followed in your footsteps and earned his own living? Gabby asked. Hunter actually laughed.
Not when someone else can do all the hard stuff and he can sweep in and take.
30 minutes later, they were sitting in a quiet booth in a tiny, informal steakhouse.
You look like you could use a drink, Hunter told her.
I don't think. The waiter stepped up and Hunter ordered them wine. He waited until after their wine arrived before asking for every detail of her encounter with Noah. When their brief meeting had been recited, she sipped her wine. Thankful, Hunter insisted on it.
His presence wasn't an accident. This is what he does. He shows up in the places I'm going to be, makes nice with those around me, and sprinkles doubt about my resolve to keep my distance from him. A master manipulator must first gain the trust of those he's sinking his claws in. Now that you've seen him once, he will be around again. I'd bet money on it.
How would he know I was there? Or do you think he was trying to find you?
If he wanted to find me, all he would have to do is show up at the office. He could have followed you, got wind via the media. He was after something else.
He sat back and thought.
His drive-by makes it clear why you need a bodyguard.
She opened her mouth to argue. Hunter cut her off.
It's already in motion, Gabby. I spoke with Neil before picking you up. He will have a team at the new house to wire tomorrow. A personal bodyguard will meet us at the hospital when we go back.
Oh, Hunter.
You're a smart woman. You know I'm right about this.
The thought of mistaking Noah for her husband a second time, alone, made her pause. Fine, you're right. Hunter lifted both eyebrows.
Did that hurt?
Saying you're right? He chuckled.
Yeah.
She tapped her chest. A little. Right here. Hunter leaned forward and took her hand in his.
God, you're beautiful.
Smooth talker.
Is it working?
He kissed the back of her hand. Yeah, her stomach had settled and she was no longer shaking. Well, she started, I haven't told you to jump in front of a bus for at least an hour. The funeral took place a week to the day after Jordan passed away. The minister spoke of happier times, of the lives Jordan had touched and the love one sister had for the other. Gabby looked around the church at the multitude of the Harrisons' friends. She knew that many of the couples were together because of Samantha's service. Alliance was born in an attempt to make the money Sam needed to care for her sister. In a way, Jordan was partially responsible for the marriages surrounding her. For that, Gabby kept a smile in her heart for the young woman whose life touched so many. Family and close friends took up the front of the church. There were politicians, businessmen, members of parliament who flew in from London to show their respect. Toward the back of the church sat dozens of caregivers who had taken care of Jordan over the years. From the care home she'd lived in before Sam and Blake married, to the private care nurses who were round the clock in the Harrison home, the venue was filled. When the procession moved to the graveside, the numbers thinned, and then again when they finished at a reception at the Harrison's Malibu estate. Gabby took the role of coordinating staff, keeping the kitchen moving, the servers working. With so many dignitaries in attendance, there was an equal amount of bodyguards and security staff. To make matters worse, the three different service attendants wore wires to their ears, but instead of sidearms, they held cocktail trays. Gabby made it a mission that no one bothered Samantha with anything. Being far removed from an emotional connection with the deceased made it easier for her to act as ambassador to the event. The house appeared to swell with people. Just when Gabby thought they were at capacity, more arrived. Cooper, the man assigned as her bodyguard for the day, tried his best to blend into the background. He sucked at blending. "What are you doing in the kitchen?" The question came from the doorway. Gwen stood with a hand on her hip. "You don't need to do this." Gabby glanced in her direction, and then back to the tray in front of her. "These are ready, Alice. Thank you." The server lifted the tray over her shoulder and into the fray. "You're ignoring me. I'm Italian. I ignore what I don't want to hear." Gwen laughed. "Well, I'm English, and I'm calling you on it. Hunter asked me to pry you from the kitchen." Gabby couldn't help the smile on her face. Hunter continued to surprise her. Not only had he put most of his life on hold in the past week, but he selflessly offered more of his time and attention to her network of friends and family. "I like to keep busy. He should know that about me by now." The staff buzzed around the room like a well-oiled machine. "He does know you by now." "And how is that?" Gabby grabbed a toothpick full of Gouda as the server passed and tossed it in her mouth. "I thought you two were an alliance union."
"We are."
There wasn't any heat in her words.
"Most of the time."
Gwen lifted a very English brow. "Most of the time?" Just then, Meg and Judy walked into the kitchen. The staff continued to work around them.
"There you are. Hunter's looking for you,"
Meg said. Gabby rolled her eyes.
"She's in here," Gwen said, "telling me how she and Hunter are an alliance union most of the time."
Meg nudged Judy with a knowing smile.
"Told you."
"Most of the time? What exactly does that mean?"
Judy asked, as if she didn't know. With a kitchen full of hired staff, Gabby turned toward them and placed her hands on her hips.
"It means I'm not a saint,"
she confessed with heat in her face. Judy and Meg started to laugh, and Gwen caught on.
"So what does this mean?" Judy asked.
Meg shoved her friend again. "It means they're having sex." Gabby shushed her, and Gwen laughed. Thankfully, the staff dipped their heads and pretended they weren't listening.
"Oh, for crying out loud, I'm intimate with my husband. What a crime."
All three women simply stared. Gabby shook her head, left the kitchen, and found herself straight into the chest of the man in question.
"Oh, thank God."
She looked up into his face and sprang back.
"Noah."
Her skin crawled.
"Mrs. Blackwell."
"What are you doing here?"
Cooper exited the kitchen, on his heels the three teasing women. Gabby took a massive step back. Noah wore a suit, one similar to that of her husband, but the way he held his shoulders, the cut of his hair, and more to the point, the way he looked at her, was completely off. She shuddered.
"We found her,"
Judy said in Noah's direction. Gwen stopped laughing first. Gabby didn't offer an explanation.
"What are you doing here?"
Noah looked beyond her.
"Gwen, it's been a long time."
"Noah?"
Judy and Meg grew silent. Gabby stood back as Noah greeted Gwen as if she were a long-lost friend. It stood to reason that if Hunter knew Blake, perhaps his brother knew him and his sister as well. When Gwen hugged Noah, something in Gabby's stomach turned sour. Hunter's words rang in her head.
"This is what he does. He shows up in the places I'm going to be, makes nice with those around me, and sprinkles doubt about my resolve on keeping my distance from him."
Gabby waved Cooper to her side.
"Find Hunter."
Cooper frowned but moved to fill her request. She said nothing as Gwen introduced Meg and Judy to Noah. Once she uttered the word twin, understanding filled the eyes of her friends. Gabby wanted to quiz the man further on his presence, but Gwen seemed to think his attendance was acceptable, so she let it go. Hunter pushed through the crowd and eased his pace only when he saw the people around her. His eyes shot to his brother, and all conversation around them dried up like water in the desert.
"Oh my."
Gabby couldn't tell who blew out her breath, but she understood the desire. Seeing them close together was a shock to the system. Neither man placed his hand out for the other. Noah stood smiling, like a cat with a secret, and Hunter held tight control of his emotions.
"What are you doing here?"
"Paying my respects, brother."
"Pay them, then leave."
Hunter's deadly tone drew prickles all over Gabby's skin. Noah continued to smile as he broke eye contact with his brother and offered a nod to those who could hear him. Then he stared directly at Gabby.
"A pleasure to see you again."
Gabby grabbed Hunter's arm to keep him in place as Noah turned and walked away.
"What the hell was that about?"
Meg asked. Gabby didn't answer as she moved in front of Hunter's gaze.
Hey. He finally looked at her. He didn't smile. He's trying to get under your skin. Don't let him win.
Gabby set her hand on his chest and felt his tight breath finally release. Hunter captured her cheek in the palm of his hand and kissed her gently, briefly.
Thank you.
For what?
She whispered.
For keeping me from killing him. I owe you.
She laughed and leaned closer.
Well, Meg said loud enough for anyone to hear, seems I have more questions and only a few answers.
Instead of facing her friends, Gabby slipped a hand around Hunter's waist as they walked away.
Chapter 23
That goes in the kitchen.
Gabby waved her hand in the direction of the door. It says bedroom, Meg argued.
I lied. When I was packing, I mixed up the boxes. Placed a heart on the box.
She rolled her eyes.
Doesn't matter. It goes in the kitchen.
Meg lifted the box a second time and started back down the stairs. I'm really thankful that most of the Tarzana household didn't belong to you. Gabby grinned as she unpacked a box of bathroom essentials. In a few minutes, Meg was back at her side.
We have some serious shopping to do in order to get this place looking like a home.
Gabby glanced into the bedroom sans an actual bed. With everything exploding around them, furniture shopping didn't make the list of things to do. So? Meg motioned toward the empty bedroom. Where is Hunter going to sleep? They hadn't been together in days. Between his schedule and hers, there was very little time for phone calls and a simple text.
It better be in here with me, she said under her breath.
Meg nudged her.
Gabby shoved her back. I really shouldn't care about him as much as I do.
I'm trying to see the bad, Gabby. I really am. She shook off her thoughts and continued to fill the cubbies of the ensuite bathroom with useless crap that might be better off in the trash.
He's a good man. Just doesn't always know the right way to get what he wants without hurting people.
Meg held still and stared.
Has he hurt you?
Scared her, in the beginning. It didn't take long for her to see under the facade that encompassed her husband. Even then there were flowers, playful banter between them that was only half meant in the space of a week. It took me less than 24 hours to see the vital differences between Hunter and Alonzo.
Meg hopped up onto the counter. What was that, other than the obvious hot factor?
Hunter is gorgeous.
Not as amazing as your brother, but that's weird for you. Tell me what you see as different, other than the physical.
Gabby cocked her head.
You sound like a counselor.
I'm sure I do.
I just want to know what you see.
Then I'll tell you what I see. Gabby went ahead and took a place on the counter next to Meg.
He's driven. You can say Alonzo was driven, but I never knew the reason for his drive until it was too late.
God. Gabby lowered her head and shook it. I shouldn't be comparing the two of them. Meg placed a hand on her leg. It's okay. You were in love with Alonzo.
Gabby shook her head.
No, I wanted to love Alonzo. I thought he was something he wasn't. After I knew his secrets, I wanted nothing to do with the man. I know Hunter's secrets, what drives him.
And your feelings toward Hunter are...
She couldn't solidify them.
Not with words. Not yet.
Do you know why he needed to get married?
Meg shook her head.
Gabby popped off the counter and grabbed Meg's hand. She led her into a room across the hall from the master suite.
I'm thinking blue walls, dark blue with stars on the ceiling.
I'm not following you. Gabby tilted her head toward the ceiling and smiled.
His name is Hayden. Not even a year old and already in the middle of family drama.
Meg sucked in a breath. Hunter has a son?
Gabby wasn't sure how much she should say. The house was wired with sound. The monitor's already recording their movements. Let's just say,
Gabby started, Hunter's need to marry wasn't as selfish as I first believed. Meg moved about the empty room, her head deep in thought. A family is a huge step.
Sometimes family just happens. Look at you and me. I love my brother but always wished for a sister. And here you are.
Do you even want kids? Gabby ran her hand along the window ledge.
My biological clock, as they say, has been ticking for some time. Before Hunter, I'd given up on relationships altogether and pushed booties and bottles from my head.
Women have babies without active fathers all the time.
Gabby met Meg's gaze. I know that. My father passed away when I was in my teens, leaving Val to step into his role. What if I'd decided to have a child on my own and something happened to me? She shook off the empty thought of a child growing up without any parent. I couldn't take that risk.
You have us.
I know. With Hayden falling into our lives, Hunter and I will both determine very soon if we're parent material. The thought should scare her, but for a reason she couldn't say, it didn't.
Meg stopped moving and hugged her. Tell me the whole story,
when no one is listening, she whispered.
Gabby nodded.
When Meg stood back, her eyes were dusty with tears. Val and I think I might be pregnant.
Gabby's jaw dropped. The hair on her arm stood on end, and every happy cell in her body sang.
You think?
Meg shrugged. I'm meeting Judy later with the pea stick.
Seems wrong without Val here, but...
Gabby shrieked like a teenager laying claim to the star quarterback on the football team. She hugged Meg too hard.
I'm so happy. I don't know yet.
She waved her off.
A woman knows.
Meg laughed. You sound like your mother.
My mother knows.
She knows everything.
Oh, Margaret, I'm so happy for you.
Your mom has been eyeing me lately.
Gabby hugged her again. When is Judy coming over? We need to celebrate. It might be a false alarm.
Yeah, it could be. Gabby didn't believe it was.
Italy was a